From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. California just passed one of the strongest privacy laws in the nation. State lawmakers unanimously passed the California Consumer Privacy Act of 2018, which was then signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown on Thursday. According to the Washington Post, the law will, quote, require tech companies to disclose the categories of data they collect about consumers, as well as the third-party entities like advertisers with whom they share that information. Web users also gain the ability to opt out of having their data sold, and companies wouldn't be allowed to charge users a fee or provide them less service if they made that choice. Now, if the law had not passed, there were efforts underway to bring an even stricter version of it as a ballot measure to voters in November. After initially opposing the bill, tech companies like Google and Verizon backed off, preferring the legislative effort over the potential ballot measure. My guest is Jamie Court, president of Consumer Watchdog, author of The Progressive's Guide to Raising Hell, How to Win Grassroots Campaigns, Pass Ballot Box Laws, and Get the Change You Voted For. Welcome to the program, Jamie.
My pleasure to be back. Thanks.
So this bill passed very quickly. It was written. It was voted on. It got every single vote, a unanimous passage, which is quite rare, and signed into law in a very, very short period of time. Do you think that the threat of the ballot measure is what spurred lawmakers to act?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sacramento had never acted that fast on anything unless industry asked them to. But usually there's someone who stands in the way. I mean, this was really remarkable. We had a very courageous guy named Alistair McTaggart, a real estate developer, who developed a very pro-consumer ballot measure to give people control over their privacy rights, to give them the right to sue over data breaches. And the Silicon Valley was so worried about it that they were able to agree not to oppose anyway, not necessarily support, but not to oppose this compromise, which is, I gotta say, almost as strong as the ballot measure itself. I mean, it gives you the right to have control over your data. They get to tell you, they have to tell you, these companies of 25 million or more, what data they collect on you. They have to give you the right to say no to the selling and sharing of your data. If you're 16 years old, you get the, and for kids under 16 and under, they get the right to delete any information. And the companies are liable for data breaches through a private right of enforcement for up to $750 per violation. And when you have a data breach, there's tens of millions or hundreds of millions of records. That'd be a pretty big price tag. So the legislation is pretty significant for what Sacramento would do. And I'm impressed that this came together. I've been, you know, behind the scenes with some of the people involved, and it wasn't really clear to me that we'd get a signature and we'd get the bill through both houses by the deadline Thursday at 5 p.m. when this ballot measure had to be withdrawn, and it all worked really well.
Wow. So the bill passed and the ballot measure was withdrawn, and I understand that the law, because it is now law, will take effect in 2020, and that it's being compared to the European Union's recent very strict law, known as the GDPR law, that is essentially forcing companies to change the way they collect data, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is not as strong as the GDPR law because this is an opt-out as opposed to an opt-in. So, you know, companies are going to have to give you the right to opt out of selling or sharing your data. And under the legislative compromise, not the ballot measure, they can actually charge differential prices if you choose to have your privacy protected. Now, I think that's a big problem in the marketplace for a company that tries it, because AT&T tried this. They said, oh, well, we're going to give people the right not to have their information sold or shared, but they're going to have to pay more for it. And there was a big consumer backlash because the public finally realized, well, wait a second, you're selling and sharing my data? Wow, I don't want to do business with you at all. So they dropped it. But the industry did win that right under the bill, although the Attorney General regulates the practice and makes sure that the price charged to have privacy, if there is one, is not is related to the actual cost of the data not being shared. so it can't be discriminatory. That was a big hang-up for many privacy groups. They did not like that caveat. But again, it's a legislative compromise, and I don't think pragmatically it's realistic in a marketplace to be charged more for your privacy rights, because I think consumers will go walk with their feet to the company that doesn't charge you, and therefore they're going to be this competition based on who charges you and who doesn't charge you for your privacy.
Right.
But that is one of the catches. The other big catch is the 2020 implementation.
Right.
That gives the legislature another year to mess with this, and we're going to have to be vigilant.
Now, how did they mess with it if it's already law, though? Because that was my question. One of the reasons why these companies backed off was because of that 2020 start date, and they're hoping that the legislature tweaks a bill that's already been passed into law?
Yes. And if we're not vigilant, they will. I mean, we had the threat of the ballot measure. The public was going to vote. Once that's off the table, you can bet the tech lobbyists are going to go to the legislators in Sacramento and say, well, we just need to make a small change, and the small change eradicates the real rights and obligations they have under this law. And we're not going to let that happen. And if legislators start to give in to the tech moguls and the tech lobbyists, they're going to face a lot of problems in their own districts. They might even face the recall campaign. So, I mean, we got to play a hardball, and we got to be vigilant, and we can't let them sneak one in. But under the initiative, they would have been able to amend it all in the legislature, except with a two-thirds vote to further the purposes of the initiative. Since it's legislation, there's a whole nother legislative year in which they get a second bite at the apple. If they can get a critical mass of legislators and the governor to sign on, we're not going to let that happen. But that's why this is a really critical time, and this is probably why the industry let it go through, because they realized they were getting a little extra time. On the other hand, look, ballot measures are tough to win. The industry was going to spend $100 million to stop it. It was by no means a sure thing this thing would have passed. And
So you got something rather than a potential nothing.
Absolutely.
And in fact, yeah, one of the posters that we saw that are being passed around, that were being passed around as in opposition to the ballot measure and this whole law, was based on the idea of jobs, of course, and keep California America's tech leader. Don't sign the petition for the ballot measure. These were posters by a committee to protect jobs, of course, but they did back off. So just to go back into what this actually means. Now, right now, there are lots of corporations that will give you ad-free content if you pay for it. So that's very open, right? You know, when you use free content, you often have to sit through ads, or you can pay for no ads. So that's a choice a consumer can make. But right now, and before this law is passed, you didn't have an option to choose between having your data be tracked and used to then market stuff back to you. It was just being done. So once this is in effect, if it actually stays as strong as it is, will companies have to approach every single user and say, please click here if you want your data to be sold or shared?
No, that's an opt-in. That's what the GDPR has.
So it's going to tell people, it's going to simply allow people to opt out.
It allows people to opt out. But more than that, people also get a right to know what data is being collected by the company. You just ask a company and they have to tell you. We don't know today. I mean, it's really crazy, but think about what we learned from Cambridge Analytica and the Facebook scandal. We never had a right to know any of what that data collection entailed. So we have a right to know. They have to be transparent when we ask. We have a right to opt out and say you can't sell and you can't share. They have a right, if they're going to try it, to charge us a little bit more, but it has to be something that's related to the actual cost of the data that the Attorney General has oversight and does regulations on. And maybe most importantly, for the first time, we get some teeth in the California Constitution's prohibition on violations of our privacy. Privacy in California Constitution is an inalienable right under a ballot measure in 1972, but there's no teeth in that. And now when our privacy is alienated, they have to pay us on this data breach side. If they are irresponsible with our data and there's a breach, they're going to have to pay everybody who is who was affected by this. This is $750 per violation. Now, that's really big, because today, in order to to recover for a data breach, you have to prove you lost money or property, which is not what you usually lose when there's a privacy violation. You lose a lot of time when your identity is stolen, or you don't lose anything, but you're insecure. This really creates a deterrent effect because the companies could be on the hook literally for hundreds of millions of dollars. If it's $750 every time 100 million records are taken, they have to worry about that, and they're going to encrypt records. They are going to do patches to software like Equifax didn't. Equifax recently settled with federal regulators over the data breach. They didn't pay a dime. So this private right of enforcement is huge. Now, the ballot measure made it broader. Under the legislation, the attorney general has to approve a lawsuit, or they can do it themselves. But then against an elected position, we have good attorney generals who will pay a political price if they're not allowing legitimate cases of data breach to go forward. So it's a nice compromise. It takes away the argument against frivolous lawsuits, but does leave the right to sue intact in legitimate cases with political accountability in an attorney general. So that's what makes this really, really strong, I think, is that there is an enforcement mechanism that we all have a private right of enforcement, and that's going to make the companies worry about getting it right when they don't have to worry today at all.
And finally, Jamie, there's a saying, as goes California, so goes the nation. Does California pushing this law have implications for the entire country in terms of what people can expect? I mean, if these companies now have to do this for California, are they just essentially going to back down and let people from the entire nation, have to be given the chance to opt out of having their data sold and shared?
Yes, I believe, because I think it's going to be very hard for them to promise rights to Californians that they don't give to New York. I mean, it's hard for them to promise rights to Europeans that they don't give to Americans, but it's a lot harder, when you move from one state to another not to have a right. I think they're going to have to apply it equally across the board to every American, and this is going to have resonance, even if no other laws are passed in any other states, and I think there will be. I think the companies, when they implement this, are going to have to implement it across the board. And I don't think it's a pragmatic thing, by the way. I think they're able to distinguish between New Yorkers and Californians, but I don't think that they're going to want to do it, because I think it's going to create a crazy, crazy problem in the marketplace, and they're just going to adopt it and apply it.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Jamie, for joining us today. Give out the website for Consumer Watchdog.
Yes, consumerwatchdog.org.
And we'll link to that from our website. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Jamie Cordes, president of Consumer Watchdog and author of The Progressive's Guide to Raising Hell, How to Win Grassroots Campaigns, Pass Ballot Box Laws, and Get the Change You've Voted For. We've been discussing the new California bill to protect privacy, the strongest such law in the nation, signed by Governor Jerry Brown. I am Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.